Thou is the heart of a mother. The heart of a mother. And I thought about, I've been meditating on this quite a bit this week, on the heart of a mother, that I think actually it might have been, it could have been last week when this thought came to me. But anyway, as I think of mothers, I'm a mother. I have had a mother. Each one of us have had a mother. But there's something very special and very different about the heart of a mother. I think a father can love a child very much, and they can do things for them. But mothers have something different. They will go a little farther. I think about when I had my children. If my child was sick, I remember one time I was raising my granddaughter, Kim, and she had something like strep throat. And throughout the night, I just kept right there by her. I would give her a little juice, I think orange juice or something, throughout the night. God blessed her to overcome it. But a mother just almost can't sleep when their child is sick. The father will, he'll go on and he'll go to sleep, go to work or whatever he has to do. But that mother tends to just stay right there by that child. God gave us that. I believe that came directly from God. I was thinking about Adam. When God presented Eve to Adam, he named her Eve, the mother of all living. And so there's a special bond that the mother has, and there's a special gift I feel like God gives mothers. There are mothers in this world that have fallen short of what real mothers should be. But you know, godly mothers, they set the pattern. They set the pattern for what a mother should do and how they should be. I want us to go to 1 Kings 3, 16 to 28.
Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my lord, I am this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman was delivered also, so we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, save we two in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while thy handmaid slept, and laid it in her bosom, and laid the dead child in my bosom. And when I rose in the morning to give my child sight, behold, it was dead. But when I considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. And the other woman said, Nay, but the living is thy son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, No, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they speak before the king.
Okay, let's stop just a minute. This king was King Solomon. And we realized that when King Solomon started to be king, he knew he was going to be king. He felt that he didn't have what it takes to lead the people. And so the Lord gave him an option. And he wanted God to give him wisdom.
Yeah.
God gave him wisdom above any other human being. And so now they're bringing this problem to him. And one of them said the child is theirs. The other said it was theirs. He had a dilemma before him to try to figure out now which one is the real mother. Let's read on.
Then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that liveth, and thy son is the dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is the dead, and my son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. They brought a sword before the king. And the king said, divide the living child in two, and give half to the one and half to the other. Then spake the woman whose the living child was unto the king, for her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, O my lord, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. But the other said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Then the king answered and said, give her the living child, and in no wise slay it. She is the mother thereof.
You see, and let's read 28, because it shows the effect of his wisdom.
And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment.
Okay, so what happened was, in order for him to, he recognized the true mother, because the true mother yearned for her son.
Right.
It was no way. She would rather somebody else to have the son than to divide it. The other one had no compassion whatsoever. Just let it not be neither hers nor mine. Go on and divide it. So he knew that that was the mother. That is the heart of a mother.
That's right.
The heart of a mother yearns for her children. And she will do whatever she can. You know, sometimes you can have a wayward child, and somebody else can just give some harsh judgment to that wayward child. Oh, just let them go to jail. You have people say, give them some tough love. But that mother, it's not going to do that. She's going to try to find a way to help her child. And she's going to say, when judgment calls, I want mercy to answer.
Yes.
That's the heart of a mother. When judgment calls, I want mercy to answer. I remember I was having a conversation with somebody, and we were talking about their wayward child. And I was putting judgment on that child. The mother buttoned her lip. She didn't say anything. And it reminded me. And I said, oh, yes, you are the mother. And so that's the way you would be. And I would be, if it was my child, the same way. We want mercy for our children. I pray pretty much every night for my children. And I desire God to protect them, because I realize that the enemy will try to get them in their unsafe state. Something happened and they leave here. It's just the heart of a mother. That child never leaves that mother. Even when they're grown, they don't leave them. Their heart is still yearning for them and wanting the best for them.
Yes.
Okay, let's go to Proverbs 10 and 1. You know, the heart of a mother is protection. I was thinking about how that mother that Solomon had to deal with, that mother wanted that child protected. She did not want to see her child just destroyed right before her face.
10:1 of Proverbs in the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother.
What that means is even when the child goes wrong, the mother carries it in her heart. It's the heaviness of it, of the mother. People can say all kinds of things about that child, but that mother is feeling it. I remember in one scripture, it was telling about Mary. Said Mary pondered these things in her heart.
Yes.
The mother ponders these things in their heart about their children. Now I want us to read Genesis 21:21.
And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt.
What that meant was, here, this was, I think it was Isaac. I don't remember when, but the mother even gets concerned about their children when they're grown and they're able to get their own companion. She took him a wife out of Egypt, it said. She wanted to see the best for her child. Yeah. You know, we don't like to see our child. We know they're grown. They can make their own choices. But we still are concerned for their welfare, whether they're grown or whether they're little. Let's go to Jeremiah 31:15-17. These scriptures that we're going to read now is going to show how that the mother yearns for the child. And in these cases, in prophecy, there was prophesied that there would be weeping in Ramah. And it was a time of Jesus when they were saying that the prophecy that there was going to be a lot of children were going to be killed during Jesus' time. This is the prophecy. But you know, when we read it, we realize that when we weep for our children, when we yearn for our children, God sees it. And he said that we will not go unrewarded. So as a mother, if we have children and we are grieved and we are pouring our heart out and maybe losing sleep sometimes and maybe tears over these children, God sees it. I'm thankful that God sees it and he's touched with the things that we're touched with. Jeremiah 31:15-17.
Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel, weeping for her children, refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy works shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that the children shall come again to their own border.
Yes, so we can, as mothers, can be very encouraged that God is the compassionate God, and he cares about all the things that we have to deal with. But I was thinking about an example of this is also in Genesis 21:7-13. How that Sarah had, God had promised her that she would have a child. He had promised Abraham, but she didn't have one at this time yet. And so she told Abraham to go into her handmaid and have a child. So he did. But when the handmaid saw that she was going to be with child, she kind of had an attitude toward her. And this grieved Sarah. Then, I think, let's go to just read that, 7 to 13, then we'll read on.
And, well, 6 verse said, and Sarah said, God has made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children such? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she said unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son. For the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. And the thing was very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. And God said to Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman in all that Sarah has said unto thee. Hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called, and also of the son of the bondwoman will I make a nation, because he is thy seed.
Okay, so what happened is the bondwoman had a child, actually before Sarah had a child.
Yes.
And she first had kind of this attitude. But then after Sarah bore the child for Abraham, then the son kind of made fun. And with that, she was grieved. And she told Abraham just to cast her out, she and her son. That was hard on Abraham, but God told him to go on and do it. She pronounced harsh judgment. If you think about it, you would think that she could have had more compassion and not just cast her out. If she cast her out, where is she going to go? She and her son. So she goes out just with no, she has no choice. But if we go down starting at 15, we'll see where God had compassion on her.
And the water was spent in the bottom, and she cast the child under one of the scrubs.
Okay, so she's out, and there's no water. They ran out of water. That's where we are.
And she went and set her down over against him a good way off, as it were a bow shot. For she said, let me not see the death of the child. And she set over against him and lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise, lift up the lad, hold him in thy hand, for I will make him a great nation. God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the bottle with water and gave the lad drink. God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took him a wife out of the land of Egypt.
So we see how that God, in his mercy, had mercy. He had mercy on Hagar and on the child. She wept. That was grievous to her. She put him away because she didn't want to see him die. But God cares. God cares for mothers. He sees the heart. He put that heart in us for our children. And he cares about what we care about. I want also to look at another situation where the mother was just yearning for the fact that something happened to her husband. This one is found in 2 Kings 17. I'm sorry. I want to skip that for now. But I can tell you about it. It was the case of Elijah. And he went, the Lord sent him to the lady, this lady. And she was getting ready to, she was a widow woman. And she was getting ready to just get 2 sticks. And she had a meal and oil. That's all she had. And it was a famine in the land. She was getting ready to just dress that, take that meal, dress those sticks up and fix it. And they were going to eat it. That was their last meal and they were going to die. But he sent the prophet there and the prophet told her, he saw her and he talked to her and she said, well, this is all I have. He told her to make a cake. And she said, well, I just have this meal. And I'm going to dress this and we're going to die. Well, he told her to make me one first.
Yes.
And the meal would not stay and neither oil until God sent rain. And he did. And she did it. And God blessed her. And they were able to eat until he provided rain again for them. Then the other scenario, or not scenario, but story in the Bible, tells of Elisha the prophet. It's in 2 Kings. We want to start with chapter 4 and verse 8. So we're looking at different mothers, their problems that they had, and God blessing them and being there for them. And so it's a blessing to be a mother. It's not a curse. It's a blessing. Today, some people get rid of their children. They abort them. But God said, be fruitful and multiply. It's God's intent for us to have children. And we should, every child that we have, we should go on and have them, regardless. Sometimes they say, well, something may be wrong with the child, whatever. But if we conceive those children, then we should have them. And the Lord will take care of the rest of it. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 4.
And it fell on a day that Elijah passed to Shunem, where there was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned his thither to eat bread. She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passes by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, and a table, and a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn him thither. And it fell on the day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber, and he lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And she said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee?
Okay, stop just a minute. So if we understand what has happened, the prophet would go by this place, and the woman, the wife, would invite him in to come and eat. And then she realized that he was coming regular, so she made a little room for him. Bed, a table, and all. And so when he would come, he had a little place to rest. She was a very, she recognized that he's a man of God, and she did something good for him. So he wanted to know, is there anything you would want to have? You can finish reading.
And he said to him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she had no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life.
Okay, so he said she would have a son, and she had one. Now let's see what happened to the son. 18.
And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. She went up and laid him on a bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. She called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well.
Okay, so this mother was willing to go to any extent to get help. Her son died. She laid him on the man of God's bed and shut the door, and she asked for one of the servants, no doubt, to get something that she could ride on. And she is determined. The dad was wondering, why would you go? It's not a new moon. It's not a Sabbath. Why would you go to the man of God? But she didn't. She just said it's going to be well. And she went. So she told this man to drive her and just keep going and don't stop. In other words, unless I tell you. So on 20, let's go to 25.
And she went and came into the man of God from Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her, and the Lord has hid it from me and hath not told me. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thy hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her.
So she wasn't going to be satisfied with that staff and the servant going. She wanted the man of God to come. She was not going to leave him. Just like if we remember Jacob wrestled with the angel and he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. She was not letting this go until the man of God came with her. So he went with her. And when he went there, he found that the child was dead. And so he went in and he prayed for the child. Then he laid on the child, his eyes to the child's eyes, his hands to the child's hand, his mouth to the child's mouth. And look at verse 37.
37?
Mm-hmm.
And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her.
I'm sorry. 35.
Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her, and when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. Then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out.
You see, the heart of a mother. She was not satisfied till there was results.
Yeah.
And neither will a true mother be satisfied till there are results. Everybody else may give up on that child, say he's a bad child, he's not going to do any better. But that mother's heart is going to stay there and pray. Many times, maybe when everybody's asleep and just going their way, that mother's heart is still concerned and yearning for that child. And they're going to pray until victory, until something, God intervenes. And so we want to recognize what God has given us. Do you know what God has given us as mothers? There's so much I could say. Mother yearns for the child, but the mother also nurtures the child. If the parent, the other person maybe talk bad about the child, the mother's not going to want that.
No.
He's not going to talk bad about their child. They're going to find something good about their child. They're going to care because they love them. God did this for mothers. Now, I wonder if we would think about what life would be like if we didn't have mothers. Life would be a whole lot different. People would not care about each other. What I think God right now is holding off, he's holding off that a few more people are coming in. The mother's heart is very important in our nation, our country, our people, because they care and they will go to every extent they can for that child, importuning for the child, teaching the child. Even in the home, the mother teaches the child. If we think back, we can think of many things that our mothers said to us. They gave us the right perspective on life. It's the mother that usually does that. And I was thinking about, like me, I find myself today quoting things that she quoted. You know, she taught me this. So I quote it and I pass it on. She leaves a legacy for the generations to come. Let's go now to Proverbs 31:10.
Who can find a virtuous woman for her pride far above reach?
We're going to read all of that to the end.
All right. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so so that she'll have no need of spoiling. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hand. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also white as night, yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her bedroom. She considereth the field, and she buyeth it, and the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night.
Can you stop right there?
Yes, ma'am.
When it talks about her, it says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with the hand. This is a true mother. There are women that have children, but they don't have that heart like they should have. When we fear God and we are a godly mother, we're going to be set the standard for what motherhood should be about. So she works willingly with. She's not lazy. She doesn't lay in the bed watching TV or reading a book and her kids and children just running around, no control, no supervision, have maybe not clean and not taken care of. But a true mom takes care of her children. And she's not lazy. And then it says, she rises also while it's yet night and gives meat to her household. She's going to make sure they have food. She's not going to say, just go in there, look in the refrigerator, find something. She is going to prepare the food and make sure they have it. This is a virtuous woman. So a virtuous woman is a godly woman and a godly mother.
Yeah.
Now you could continue.
Let's see, verse 16. She considers the field and buys it, and the fruit of her hands she planted a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms, and she perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the staff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple.
Stop just a minute. It says she's not afraid of the snow. She's prepared. When it's come cold weather, the children not walking around with no coats, no jackets, no. She's careful to make sure they have the right clothing for the right time of year. This is a mother. This is a godly mother. You can read on.
She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, when he setteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness.
Stop just a minute. Notice that the godly mother has wisdom. She has wisdom on how to relate and how to speak to her children.
Yeah.
She's not going to talk down to them and give them a feeling of no hope. But the godly mother is going to encourage her children in the right way. She's going to give them advice about the right way to do things, which will make their lives better. But then also it says, in her tongue is the law of kindness. And the law of kindness is what is, the law is something that you go by. And that's what she, if it's not kind, she's not going to want it to be said. She's going to be careful to be kind to her children and teach them kindness to others. It's the law that she goes by. And this is what a godly mother is. Read on. It's 27.
She looketh well to the ways of her household, eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. My daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all.
Can we say that again? Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. In other words, you set the perfect example. The others say they've done good, but you've done better. And this is what, when you are a godly mother, you're going to set the bar high. And you're going to be an example to others. Read on.
Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates.
This is the godly mother and the godly woman, the godly wife. And one more scripture, I think we can basically say it. God gives children the commandment to honor their father and their mother. And so it's fitting to take time out of our life and honor our mothers. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and that thou mayest live long on the earth. If you want to live long on the earth, long meaning the extent that God plans for you, you should honor your parents. And so today, we take time to honor our mothers. Pray for me.